Babylon is symbolic of a lot of things, so they say. Babylon means this, and Babylon means that, so they say. It is true that Babylon is symbolic of, well, the word itself means confused. The Tower of Babel was the place where God confused the languages to keep humanity from becoming one, concentrating their power. But that is being reversed. And now God wants a concentration of power. But Babylon is still symbolic of that kind of scatteredness, scattered thinking, disorganized planning. Babylon became disorganized. At the Tower of Babel. However, any symbolic meaning of Babylon isn't a meaning at all. In fact, I retract that saying. Any symbolism put upon Babylon is an adjunct only to the reality. The Jordan River is a type of baptism. Our Lord was baptized in the Jordan River. People sing songs about the other side of the Jordan River. Well, that is only a metaphor. It's a parable. It's an analogy. It's an allegory. It does not ever eliminate the literal truth of a thing. The metaphorical or allegorical application of a thing does not eliminate the reality of that thing. Paul talks about Mount Sinai representing Israel in bondage. Does that mean that Mount Sinai doesn't exist? It's not a literal mountain? No, it doesn't mean that. It is a literal mountain. This is what I like to call having the best of both worlds. That's my world. My world is the best of all worlds. I can believe some of these allegorical applications. I don't take them all seriously. I don't take them all literally. I don't take any of them literally. I do take some of them seriously. Because some of them are good. Babylon being a system of religion, I can buy that. But that's not the meaning of it. We must distinguish meaning from usage. I've stated this emphatically on the topic of death. Death is oblivion. Death is the absence of life. We can take it figuratively. We can say that person is figuratively dead, but even the figuratively dead must be oblivious of something. So the literal meaning is not lost. At the Tower of Babel, humanity became confused. So Babylon is always about confusion, even if you're going to use it symbolically and say that the religions of the world are a Babylon. Or to use a simile, the religions of the world are like Babylon. That's so much safer to use a simile because people get that. They see the comparison because it's obviously stated. What's more difficult for people to grasp, and this is where many, many people lose it, not just with Babel, but in the entire scriptures, to say a metaphor. Metaphor is the religious systems are Babylon. They are Babylon. It's a metaphor. They're not any more Babylon than they are in the simile, to say they're like Babylon. It's just a bolder way of saying it. Jesus is the door. Jesus is a door. Is he really a door? Jesus is like literally a door, man. People misuse that word literally all the time. He's not literally a door. He doesn't have a hinge and a knob that you turn to gain entrance. He's not made of wood. He's like a door. Oh, we all get the simile. He's like a door. But to say he is a door, we freak out. The nations are Abraham. Oh, that proves that God is finished with his literal people because the nations are now Abraham. No, they're like Abraham. But he said they are Abraham. I know. It's a metaphor. It's a stronger way of saying they're like Abraham, but it's the same exact thing as saying they're like Abraham. Babylon, or the church, the Catholic Church, even is like Babylon. But it's, I can even say it is Babylon. But it's obviously not Babylon, because Babylon's a city and the Catholic Church is the Catholic Church. I can hold a pen in front of you as I'm doing on the laundry cam. I can say, this is my power. What do you mean my power? The power of writing something. This is my power. No, this is power. I'll say that. This is power. No, it's a pen. It's not power. Power is an energy. That's a pen. It's a metaphor. When Jesus held up the bread and said, this is my body. OMG, if only he had said this is like my body, we wouldn't have the Catholic superstition that a piece of bread becomes the body of Christ, and we eat the body of Christ by eating a factory-produced wafer. That is insanity. Well, it's a form of insanity. It's a form of stupidity, of not knowing what a metaphor is. The same people should insist that Jesus is a literal door. He said, I am the door. This is my body. But up. So simple when you know it. Babylon is like a lot of things. A lot of things are like Babylon. But first and foremost, this is a literal city, Babylon. And the proof, the need for proof, is in your corner if you're going to say that the final world kingdom will not be headquartered in the city of Babylon. This is why. There have only been three world empires in the history of humanity. The Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, and the Grecian Empire. The Roman Empire was a pretender. It never conquered all the nations. Look it up. It's not a world empire. Said it was, thought it was, bragged like it was. Let's take a census of the whole world. Huh, nice try. But you're not in charge of the whole world. But that wasn't said of Nebuchadnezzar, of Cyrus, and of Alexander the Great. Because these three men were like the Antichrist of the last days in that they headed up a world kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar, Babylonian Empire. Cyrus, Medo-Persian Empire. Alexander the Great, the Grecian Empire. And I'll have you know this, all three of these world empires had their capital in Babylon. The same Babylon that is in ruins now on the banks of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers in modern day Iraq. That's Babylon. Saddam Hussein started to rebuild parts of Babylon before his career was rudely interrupted. And it will be rebuilt. I don't care how improbable it looks. I don't care how many things have to happen before that happens. But it can happen quickly, and I will explain that as we speak about Babylon. But the burden of proof is in your corner if you're going to say that the three world empires were headquartered in Babylon, yet somehow the fourth world empire, Babylon, is now to be metaphorically understood. It's now up for interpretive grabs by anybody who has a guess. And many people have guesses as to what Babylon means. A summary of all the interpretations of Babel, which have been made, have brought confusion out of something in Scripture that is actually plain. And all these guesses would convince us of one fact, that the expositors in Christianity have completely missed the secret of Babylon. That's why you're watching this broadcast. Because here I am following laws of language. And I've said this to you before, it's another opportunity to say it again. The number one law of scriptural interpretation goes along with the law of language, and that is literal if possible. If we don't take things literally, we have no communication, we have no language. Even when you use something metaphorically, the literal has to be understood. It does no good for me to tell you that someone's figuratively dead unless you know what death means. So that guy's dead. That guy's dead. Well, he's standing there. So he's not literally dead, obviously. But you have to explain this to people because they don't understand it. But the only way we can understand how he's figuratively dead is if we understand the literal meaning of death, which never changes. Even in the metaphorical or figurative usage of death, the literal meaning of death does not change, because that's the only way we know or can understand the allegorical meaning. Same with the door. When Jesus Christ says, "I am the door," you instantly get in your mind what a door is, because a door is literal. Even in the parable, the door is literal. Here's a fact. In a metaphor, which Jesus used, "I am the door," in a metaphor, there are two nouns on either side of the verb to be. And the verb to be is either is or are. So Jesus said, "I am," or "am." Yes, "am." "I am the door." So there are, the two nouns are "I," Jesus, and "the door." And the two nouns on either side of a metaphor are always literal. It's the verb in the middle that is always figurative. Always figurative. The "is" or the "am" or the "are" or the... that's always the figure of speech, that part. But the two nouns are literal, because we need to know who Jesus is. We need to know what a door is, a literal door, in order for our minds to stretch and understand the point of reference here that we're making between a door, a wooden door with a knob and hinges, and Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. In what way is he like a door? As I said, if only the simile were employed here. But no, it's a metaphor. So now everyone freaks out. Jesus is a door. Jesus is a door. Babylon is the Roman Empire. Babylon is the Catholic Church. Death is life. Death is life. No. Back to the guy who's dead. I understand what death is. Literally, it's oblivion. Total oblivion. Death is the absence of life. Dead. "This pen is my power." It's also dead. "This pen is power." It's dead. It has no life in it. Okay? So the person who's dead, dead to the world, let's say, they're non-responsive. A dead person who's standing on his feet is unresponsive, because I'm borrowing from the literal meaning of death. So even when I make allegorical references to Babylon, I must have in my mind the literal city that was the capital of three world kingdoms and will be the capital of a fourth world kingdom, unless you're going to pull a fast one on me at the last minute and say all three of these are literal, the last one's figurative. People do the same thing with the kingdom, with the world kingdoms, also described in Daniel, because they are the Babylonian Empire, Medo-Persian, Grecian Empire. And then Daniel says, this is chapter 2, "In the days of these kings, I will establish my kingdom." And he speaks of a rock that comes from a mountain and smashes these other kingdoms and brings about his kingdom. So we have a literal world kingdom, followed by another literal world kingdom, followed by another literal world kingdom. Then, according to Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Daniel chapter 2, the image, the rock comes, smashes the entire image, and then another kingdom comes up in the days of those kings, in the era where those kings live. Not their literal era, but the era of the nation. So a rock comes, a stone cut out from the mountains, not by hands, and demolishes the other world kingdoms. So the burden of proof is in your corner if you're going to tell me that the first three world kingdoms are literal. And they are. It's a matter of historical record. Look it up. And yet this final world kingdom, as the preterists tell us, is a figurative kingdom. Not real. It's not real. The others are real. But this one isn't. Why? You have no license to do that. Show me your license that'll make four things in a list, three of them consistently literal, and now the last one, you're just going to say it's figurative just because you like to make analogies or you feel like you have some kind of spiritual gift that allows you to interpret what these things really mean. I'll tell you what they really mean. Babylon really means Babylon, and we dare not, and how dare anyone out there, interpret God's interpretation. Don't do it. It's a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for confusion. Talk about Babel. The interpretations of Babylon are a demonstration of Babylon. That's good. Wow. The interpretations of Babylon are a demonstration of Babylon. And on that, I believe I will close.